The first deep winter greenhouse to be finished in the Northeast Minnesota Regional Development Partnership project is holding an open house tomorrow at the Organic Consumers Association in Finland. Joining us on the phone to tell us more are two of the leaders of the project, Dan Handeen and Greg Schwazer. Dan is an architect and a research fellow at the Center of Sustainable Building Research in the College of Design at the University of Minnesota. Greg is the Director of Sustainable Agriculture and Food Systems for the U of M Regional Sustainable Development Partnerships. And that was a mouthful. Welcome to the Roadhouse, guys.
Hey, thanks.
Impressive titles, nonetheless.
Yeah, well done wading through all those various monikers, I guess.
Well, they're all, I think, appealing when it comes to my interest. You're talking about regional sustainability, partnership. You've really created something special here, a deep winter greenhouse. And Greg, I know you and I spoke last April about this thing in the preliminary Feeling Out Communities pilot project, and it's now happening down in Finland. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah, that's right. Some time ago, I guess it was April or half a year ago or so, we had an RFP out, a request for proposals for community groups throughout the state in each of our greater Minnesota regions. We were looking for people who were interested in building this prototype design of a deep winter greenhouse and would also be interested in doing things like hosting workshops, allowing the university to come up and do some research and poke our noses around and be part of this network of deep winter greenhouse growers. There's a growing number of people who are trying this stuff out. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's in our own backyard down in Finland, down in Lake County, about an hour from here. And it sounds like you guys got a really fun show planned tomorrow with a bit of a open house, ribbon cutting, tours, celebrating the occasion. Dan Handeen, now you're with the Sustainable Building Research, the College of Design. I bet you were in on the design side of this, Dan. What makes this greenhouse special?
Well, the biggest thing is that we're trying to basically reduce as much of our supplemental heating energy usage as possible. So, you know, any regular greenhouse, sure, you could grow stuff year-round more or less if you just threw enough heat in there. But what we're trying to do is really cut down the amount of fuel that we're burning and relying as much as we can on passive solar gain. So that's what makes this one particularly unique.
Yeah, I remember Greg sort of running down the thermal storage of the sun and the positioning of these greenhouses. They have to be oriented to the south, I presume. You've got a nice photo of this in your flyer. Describe to our listeners what these greenhouses look like, if you could, Greg.
Sure. Well, this particular greenhouse, so this greenhouse is based off of a design of other greenhouses that some of our community partners in the past have used. Sometimes people have cut out the south part of a barn or a garage and installed this type of greenhouse. Dan and has developed this design, this particular design. We wanted it to be freestanding so that anybody could build one regardless of whether or not they had the exact right shed or something to attach it to. It's a freestanding design. It's about 24 feet by 24 feet square. With inside, there's a 24 feet by 18 foot growing space. There's a steep angled south-facing glazing wall on the south side, and then on the north and the east and west sides, a heavily insulated sort of shell around it. And then mentioned, I think underneath there's about a 4 foot rock bed underneath. It's dug out 4 feet, heavily insulated foundation, and there's a bed of rocks, about an inch and a half crushed river rock. And that's on top of that, there's a fabric layer of landscape fabric, and then some sort of hard pan. And then that rock underneath is what stores the heat, which is able to come back up in the ambient space at night or in cloudy days when there's not as much heat. When it starts getting colder, a sensor kicks on about 35, 40 degrees, lets that heat come up to prevent the plants from getting any damage in them.
There's going to be a heat pump circulating the stored, sounds like subterranean heat, 4 feet deep. That's pretty deep. Do you have any trouble hitting bedrock or boulders when you dig that deep?
Well, it depends on where we're doing it. So in most of Minnesota, it's not that much of an issue. In Finland, they do have an issue up in the North Shore there. You've got a little bit shallower bedrock. And so I think they got 3 feet. Did they? 3 or 4 have a deeper frost line up there. So I think they got down 4 feet and then had to go out with skirting insulation around the side to prevent the frost from coming up from the bottom. So yeah, that can be a problem perhaps in southeast Minnesota or northeast Minnesota. For the most part, most of our state, we can get down to 4 feet or below that frost line.
Well, it takes, I guess, that sort of a built-to-the-site approach. Did you have any surprises at the Finland site? Dan, can you touch on some of the design that made this what would be unique to the North Shore?
Well, I'd say that foundation adjustment was probably the biggest thing that we ran into. They weren't able to go as deep, mostly because of drainage issues, and so they wound up berming up these sides a little bit, so that's not, you know, it wasn't dug all the way down into the earth as we had on the plans necessarily, but they were able to put some horizontal insulation skirting, as Greg described, around the footing. So they were still able to get that frost protection and that basically that thermal protection down below. And it really integrated well into the site. When it all was said and done, they were able to grade it so that it really looks like it is exactly as it was planned. So,
nice.
So not a huge deal there. I guess some other things were availability of some of the materials. As far as river rock, obviously not that easy to get up here, and so we wound up going with a No. 3 grade crushed rock, which is a suitable alternative just as long as we've got the airspace in between so that air can move in between the rocks so that it can basically transfer the heat from the air into the rocks and charge them up. And what else? I mean, there were just little things here and there that were more or less easy to get. And as you probably know, there's some extra shipping charges for things that go up into the Arrowhead region there.
Yes. It's called the scenic tax.
Perfect.
Double it.
Yeah.
Hey, we're learning about deep winter greenhouses here on the Roadhouse. I'm Dave Terzig. We're chatting with Dan Handeen and Greg Schwazer, both with the University of Minnesota. Dan's with the Center for Sustainable Building Research, and that's inside the College of Design. And Greg hangs out with the Regional Sustainable Development Partnership inside of the Sustainable Agriculture and Food Systems. And boy, is the U progressive. I got to say, I'm a gopher. And when I was there 20 years ago, it was just not quite as sustainable and partnered up. If, Greg, you could touch on how your departments are collaborating, it would inspire me.
That's sort of what our department does. That's what we do. What we do is we connect community innovation with university resources. So this whole Deep Winter Greenhouse project initially got started probably about 8-9 years ago now, where a couple of farmers in the southwest region of Minnesota were experimenting with this technology. They were reacting to high gas prices at the time, and the fact that hoop houses, which people were using as season extension, tend to blow over on the prairie and get damaged by some of that strong winds. So they were looking for a way to create a more a sturdier greenhouse design. And they looked through some old designs, through old books from the 70s and 80s, I think, and then through some designs that are common in China. And they built this greenhouse off of their garage. So they came to the regional partnerships for support in helping to publish a book, like a how-to manual, and they put this out, and then they've done workshops and things over time. A little bit after that, they got a Bush Foundation grant to support a network of deep winter producers to help sort of spread the word about this technology and get other people involved. And then, tragically, Chuck Wable passed away almost immediately after receiving that foundation grant. So the Bush Foundation, actually, they came to the Regional Sustainable Development Partnerships. They gave us the money so that we were able to hire Carol Ford, Chuck's wife, who is, you know, the Deep Winter Greenhouse pioneer. So we were able to hire her and bring her on through that partnership with the Bush Foundation to do that work. And so in time, it's just kind of grown and gotten bigger and bigger. We've been able to partner with a lot of different organizations and departments within the university. We partnered with horticulture. We partnered with the College of Design. We've got our clean energy resource teams, which is also part of the Regional Sustainable Development Partnerships. Anybody we can. Right now we're looking at grants right now, grant projects to do research in these, partnering with the climatology department, the soil soils department, and there's
horticulture, mechanical engineering.
There's lots of overlap with this kind of thing, with many, many different departments and many different areas to look at. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to plug all these holes and get everybody involved so we can figure out how to make these things even bigger and even perform even better and be available to more producers, and so we can grow different things inside, all sorts of things. We're just starting this out. There's you know, years and years worth of research we can start doing inside.
Sure. It's the power of the collaborative innovation, though, that your campus affords the university. Powerful institution. Great work. Dan and Greg, are you both going to be on hand for the ribbon cutting tomorrow down in Finland?
Yep, we'll be there.
Sounds like a event of a fun weekend. You're coming up from the Twin City. I expect some snow, and this deep winter greenhouse will look appropriately nestled into the hillside, we hope. What's going to be growing in this greenhouse? I know David Abbas with the Organic Consumers Association is pretty active in the CSA, and what do we expect to see out of the greenhouse in the winter?
Right now, there's not an awful lot growing inside of this. They just are getting the final touches put onto it. But in this type of greenhouse, people tend to grow crops that are well-suited to low light and low heat conditions. This isn't like Dan was saying earlier, this isn't like one of those traditional greenhouses, those glass houses you'll see where there's tons of energy going in to keep that temperature between 65 and 85 degrees. It gets pretty cold inside of these things. The idea is to use as little energy as possible. So people are adapting these structures to grow specific crops that can not only withstand those conditions, but also thrive in those conditions. So we've got a lot of things like Asian greens, brassicas, lettuces, beets, sprouts, pea sprouts. So that, you know, there's things like Asian greens would be like mizuna or tatsoi or bok choy. Brassicas are things like broccoli and cabbage family crops. Things like arugula, kale, those kinds of things. A popular product coming out of these is a salad mix, which is a mixture of all these. I would say baby greens. A lot of times they're a little bit bigger than baby greens, but they've got this ability to take on extra flavor when they get to that 40 degree mark. You know, a lot of crops you're used to growing in your garden like the hot and they thrive in that. But these crops are thriving in this cold temperature, and so they produce extra sugars and extra flavors. And so they get really crisp. It's like something you've never tasted anything like these things before until you try them straight out of one of these greenhouses.
Wow, so there is a taste difference. I was going to ask that as far as the flavor, and it's got a special sort of sweeter, hardened off perhaps?
Yep, sweeter, spicier, depending on what you grow. And there's, you know, wow, 200 or 300 different types of green you could grow if you have the right seed catalog. So sure, it's the ability to mix and match those.
What about year-round use, Dan? Is this something gets too hot in the summer? How do we vent this thing?
We're looking at, for this particular design, the one that is going up in Finland, it's designed strictly for winter use, so pretty much November through March, that, you know, coldest, darkest period of the year. No, that's with the assumption that Minnesota is a great place to grow outside during the summertime, and there's other structures that are probably more appropriate, that might be bigger, that you can grow in the shoulder seasons with. That said, there's probably a couple variations that you could do, putting in some shade cloth. There is ventilation in them currently, but it's passive ventilation, so if one was to put in some kind of, you know, thermostatically controlled fan or something like that, you could probably extend the usage a little bit. But part of what's baked into the design is this steep glazing angle on the south side. So we're really optimizing it for the low sun angle in the wintertime, trying to get as much solar gain as we can then. And it's got an opaque roof on it, a solid roof that's, you know, pretty well insulated. And that obviously will be rejecting solar heat as the sun is higher in the sky during the summertime. So part of this project is to do the monitoring and measurement of the performance in the greenhouse. And so we'll see how it actually performs through the year, even though it is just designed for, like I said, November through March.
Is there a secondary backup heat source if it's gray, for example, or a storm event?
There is. And that varies pretty much depending on the grower. We have recommended an electrical backup heat source because it has the ability to be scaled, and that way we don't have to put any additional holes in the walls, basically. Part of what makes this greenhouse work is that it's relatively airtight, and as you're probably aware with residential construction and so forth, the better control we have over the air tightness of the structure, the better control we have over the heat. And so one way that we do that is just by limiting all the holes that are poked or, you know, any penetrations that go through the walls. And if we put in a burner or something like that, we need makeup air, we need exhaust, we need the gas line and everything. Power is already going to be going to this structure to power the circulation fans and any supplemental lighting that might be needed. And so we thought electric heat would be a very elegant way to deal with that. You know, part of it is that this is an experiment. We'll see how much additional heat it needs. That said, I mean, it's been working great so far.
Great. Yeah, it's a pilot project. It's down in Finland. It's at 6771 South Silver Hill Drive in Finland, Minnesota, home to the Organic Consumers Association. And both Dan Hendine and Greg Schwazer will be on hand tomorrow to show off their new deep winter greenhouse. A strong collaborative partnership between the Regional Sustainable Development and the U of M, the College of Design and Building Research, Sustainable Research. Fun new project, guys. I wish you all the well. I know we're sending a news crew down tomorrow, so it's going to be well covered by the press, and hopefully all the public are invited. A DWG presentation. What's that stand for?
The Deep Winter Greenhouse.
I love it. Love it. DWG. All right. Dan Hendine, Greg Schwazer, thanks for your time here on the Roadhouse tonight.
Thanks, Dave.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Enjoy the North Shore this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. We'll see you guys.